Well, thank you for those hymns that remind us that that we should be so thankful and grateful to stand in front of us. Who are we that you'd even love us and care about us, much less send your son to die for us? We're just like an ant on this earth, and yet, Lord, you love us enough to die for us. So, Jesus, thank you for loving us. Pray that you'd open our eyes today to some things that we need to have in our heart and our life. Lord, you speak through me, but Lord, may I get out of the way, and may you have full reign in this room, in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's going to speak. I just get to be the, up in front, but we're all listening today. James is going to give you a Bible. By the way, if you want one of these papers, if Joe gave you one, you say, wait a minute, now to think about it, I might need another one. Grab one, because he's gave you one, but you might want one for a friend. And you might decide that, hey, I might do two backpacks. Today's message. Let me remind you that the last couple weeks I've been giving you some things to think about. The two holidays I picked, July the 4th and New Year's Eve. So New Year's Eve, we think of resolutions. July the 4th, I think of freedom. So you put those two things together, it's sort of like a revelation. Now let me see if you've been thinking. What's the other two words? A revelation, what's the other? Before revolution, what's the other one? What's New Year's Eve? You always want to set... You have a resolution. So you got a revelation, a resolution, and a revolution, as Trish said. You got that? So it's like revelation, resolution, revelation, resolution, revelation. Revolution. Don't listen to me. I'm just a preacher. Revelation, resolution, revolution. Okay, to see if you can apply that. Things are revealed in the Bible. And once they're revealed, people can resolve to do something about it. And if they do, it's often a revolution. Something big will take place. Mary, you might have heard of her, the mother of Jesus. It was revealed to her that she was going to... Basically, the angel says, you're overshadowed. You're highly favored. And you know what? She resolved to say, I'm your servant. In other words, whatever you want to do. And a revolution took place. Jesus was born, and that young baby grew up to be our Savior. About Daniel, God appears to him and reveals himself in a special way. Daniel resolves to not touch the king's food and the spicy stuff, the elegant stuff. Instead, he eats the diet that Joy Patterson has, vegetables and water, basically. You know, he went to the gym twice a week. No, I'm just kidding. And guess what? A revolution? You bet. Daniel, hey, one of the great prophets out of the Bible. How about, let's just pick one more. Nicodemus hiding in a tree. Well, he crawled the tree to see Jesus. Jesus reveals himself who he is. Nicodemus resolves to come down out of the tree and goes to Jesus, and a revolution started. His life changed. So we can call that couple things right here. Two things come to mind with these two holidays. God will reveal himself to you, and when he reveals himself, then you resolve. New Year's revolution. No, a resolution. Fresh starts and freedom. So I want you to have a fresh start today. I want you to resolve to have a revolution take place. What's God going to tell you to do? He might say, Mark, don't do this sin anymore. I'm just picking on Mark. He's on the front row. He might say, Marie, here's what I want you to do from now on. And he reveals himself. Now, will he always, Becky, does he speak to you like he does me? No. I picture it like this. It's a cinder block wall. My daddy owned the laundromat, and it was a cinder block wall in that place. And we painted it, I think, bright yellow to wake people up while they were doing their laundry, you know, like this. But anyway, that laundromat, it was, might as well have been Talladega. Somebody knocked on the door one day at the trailer there, and I opened it up, and they said, are you going to open up today? And I looked over in squinty eyes, and I said, golly, it's 5 to 8. I must have overslept. And I went over there, stumbled over there, unlocked the door, and they unload everything, not just clothes. They got the kids out there. They got the big wheels. You know, hey, little kids would make it a park. They'd ride around the washing machines. It was a day at the, hey, let's go to the laundromat. Disney's closed, but that's okay. And they would come in there, and the kids would play, and they'd do laundry. They make a day of event, you know. I went back over and I thought, golly, I wouldn't. And I looked up and it was 5 till 7. I barely squinted through. I was an hour earlier. but they wanted to get an early start. We weren't even supposed to open till 8. So they wanted an early day to jump in there and get things going. Now I'm thinking, Revolution? God reveals Himself. He changes me. In that laundromat, here's where Daddy decided to paint it. He started putting paint on the wall. Some holes in center blocks are deeper than others. You do realize that. So some of the paint seeps in a little bit. Some of it goes deep in that, right? Well, he'll speak to Joey today and that paint will go deep. And Joey's like, man, I've been thinking about that for months. I haven't. Paint might have just barely covered me in a little bit, but it goes in deeper on me than it does on him on some other areas. That makes sense? So God just drives it, takes the word and goes deep. I mean, if I stood up and talked about denying Jesus, if it was a Simon Peter sitting in this room, he's sitting there staring at the floor like, you're talking to me, aren't you? I speak at camp sometimes and teens will come up like, how did you know that? And I thought, I don't know that. God does. You just happen to say something that pertained to them. Well, God's going to speak to you today, but He's going to give you good news and bad news. The bad news, you got to work on some areas of your life because you have not arrived. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't backslide and go back and say, well, I used to this. And you slide back into the way you used to be. And we sometimes do that. We'll start off when we're doing so well and then pretty soon we're right back to where we used to be. I used to have my basketball boys come into the middle of the gym and I'd say, hold your hands up like this to end of practice. And they would have closed their eyes and they were just so tired. I wanted to try to build arm strength for when they, anyway, they'd have their hands up. And they'd close their eyes and while their eyes was closed, their hands would do this. And the next thing you know, they're sitting there going, in their mind, where's their hands? I'd say, look up and they're like, oh, you know, because you just slowly do this because you're so tired. We do that with our Christian walk. We'll just slide right back to where we used to. And we start saying, well, we don't. When'd you read the Bible? I can't even remember. Wow. You can't remember the last time you just sat down and had a heart-to-heart talk with God and prayed and read. Well, here's a group of people. So far, we considered Gideon. He had to have a heart-to-heart talk. Angel shows up and says, what are you doing sitting here, you know, threshing wheat in a wine press? Well, it's because God's abandoned us, basically. It might as well be in His answer. He said, I didn't abandon you. You abandoned me. I'm on your side, mighty warrior. Yeah, you must be talking to somebody else. I'm not a mighty warrior. And you're not on our side. Where you been? God says, well, we used to be close, right? And Gideon, right. Well, I didn't move. Ooh, that was convicting. You can come back and be close to me again. So he spoke to Gideon and he said, Gideon, I'm going to reveal to you myself. I want you to make a resolve or resolution to get up and get going for me. And Gideon did and had a major battle won by him. Last week's story was this. Who's this guy taking a dip in a river? Naaman. It was revealed to Naaman that you can get help for that leprosy if you'll just go down and dip in the River Jordan. No, that's a crazy idea. Don't we have cleaner rivers and you know, Euphrates and Tigris? And can't we go there? Why don't we have to be in the muddy Jordan of all places? This doesn't even make sense. God doesn't always make sense to you. It will be revealed in heaven. So Naaman, he went and dipped in a river 7 times, came out clean. Can we compare that to salvation? God reveals Himself to you. Just out of curiosity, remember when you're a little boy, little girl, and God spoke to you and you just sat there, and if you were in church, standing up at the pew, your knuckles were white like this. God was saying, go forward, and you just like, ugh. You ever fought with God? Let me tell you who's going to win that. God just speaks to you, and He's like, and you finally have to give in. Right now, He might be convicting you of something, or encouraging you, comforting you with something. Naaman, you want to get clean? At first he rejected. What sense does this make? Then he finally gave in. His followers or his entourage there basically told Naaman, what do you got to lose? You know, I don't try that Jesus stuff. And this is coming from a guy on death row or drunkard and drug addict and whatever. I don't give Jesus a try. How could it be any worse? You know? Go ahead, give Him a try. And you give Him a try and God starts to work on you. Who is the story today? Well, we've talked about some strong men. We've talked about a Gideon. We've talked about a man named, who's the one that dipped in the river? Yeah, name. I'm going to pick this little boy today. Who in the world is that? Yeah, that's Sammy right there. That's Samuel. Samuel's mom is Hannah. And the priest right there is Eli. So you'll remember that today, James. So Eli the priest and a little boy named Sam. I thought since I've become a granddad this week, I'm going to talk about a little boy. This is Samuel. So guess where his story is found? In 1 Samuel. Okay. 1 Samuel. And I'll go through this story. I like Samuel. He was one of a kind. God was with him from birth, it just seems like, because he was a blessing from his mom. One of these days we'll just do a verse-by-verse study. Maybe I'll pick a book and do that, because I could do that in this book rather easily. This is one of my, it's a cool book in the Old Testament. If you've never read this, so here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There's a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elua, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupah, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. Right there was his first problem. But anyway, he had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Now, remember what I told you last week? Naaman went into the water, and it says Naaman was valiant. Naaman was, you could have said, handsome, healthy, prestigious. But, always big but, Naaman had what? Leprosy. Well, same thing. Here's Hannah. You know, great family. Elkanah got two wives, Peninnah and Hannah, and everything's happy. But, here comes the big but, Hannah had no children. Why? It's a disgrace. If women couldn't have children, it was almost like you're subpar. Year after year, this man went from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. This reminds me of the event that they had in the, remember they'd go up once a year to, what was that big event that Jesus went up? That was a year as part of he was sacrificed at this time. He took the place of the lambs that would usually come in. What was that? Celebrate the Passover, yeah. And so here we are. Here's this yearly event. They go up and they celebrate. And it's year after year, the man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. Where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. Look at that, sons and daughters. At least got four kids, it sounds like. Two sons, two daughters, if that's plural. So she's got four kids, Hannah's got nothing. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. This reminds me of Jacob loving his two wives, of Rachel and Leah. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. She's just doing this out of spite. Year after year, this just went on. When Anna went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Can you imagine two kids playing, and one comes in the house and he's crying? And the mom looks down, why are you crying? He took my toy. Did you take his toy? Yeah. You know, you just took it to irritate him. You want to play with it? No, I just don't want him to have it. That's the kind of maturity these two have got. So Hannah gets ribbed on, picked at. Her rival just provoked her. Provoked her so much, she's weeping. She wouldn't eat. Loss of appetite. She's crying. Elkanah, her husband, sometimes us men are clueless. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? She would have probably said, duh, don't you know? What does she want? She wants a baby. Hannah, why are you weeping? Did you not pick up on this year after year, Elkanah? Why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? In other words, get up, get going. Why are you downhearted? And then he says this, don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Well, it's not the fact that she wants a baby. Once again, they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh. Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting by on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. This is going to be a great prayer. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery, remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I'll give him basically back to you. All the days of his life, no razor will be used on his head. She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. She's sitting there going like this. And Eli comes over like, had enough wine in the morning? It's not even 10 o'clock. You know, it's not wine. She's actually being more spiritual than he is right here. She's crying out her soul in bitterness. She's praying to God. Her lips are moving, but her voice is not heard. Eli thought she's drunk. Said to her, how long you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. She knew what to do when she's deeply troubled. She prayed. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. She wasn't pouring out liquor. She was pouring out her soul. She said, God, you got to do something. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here and out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace. May the Lord of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Now, I think she just now got a revelation. She just now feels like I'm going to have a child next year. Why? Well, look what she does. Then she went her way and she ate something. First time she'd done that. So she quit crying, got to eating. Her face was no longer downcast. Whatever it was, her spirit changed right there. I think God revealed it to her. You're going to have a baby. She resolves to say, okay, I'm going to give him back to you. And a revolution is going to take place right here. What happens? Early the next morning, they arose, worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. Samuel. What does Samuel mean? Heard of God. I heard your prayer. Here's your baby. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So Hannah dedicates Samuel to the Lord. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice of the Lord to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Now, we might disagree on, I don't know what age, but if he's weaned, Trish, what do you think, 3 or 4 years old? Right. So this is a four-year-old boy going to, that's the point. Whether you want to disagree and say, I think he's probably around 3 or 4 years old. He's going up to live at the temple. Hannah gives him to the Lord. He's going to grow up. Guess what he's going to sleep beside at night? Now, we had the boys' room at the Moser house. We had 2 big bunk beds. I remember my brother Dennis was on the top one night, rolled over, fell out of a bunk bed and hit the floor and never even woke up. Dennis was a sound sleeper, either that or maybe he's in a coma. I don't know, but he fell out the top and hit that. You could put the little rail to keep you from falling. Had 2 bunk beds and a big bed. My brother Gene got the big bed because he was big and everything. But anyway, I slept on the bottom. Lanny was on the top. I could take my feet and push him up. Hey, in the middle of the night. I was a nice boy. Anyway, quit shaking the bed. Anyway, if you have ever been in a room with siblings, you probably know how that goes. Was it fun? Yeah, sometimes you could have fun. You'd talk, and then Mom would come in there and say, y'all quit talking, or I'll get you up with your daddy in the morning. Daddy got up about 5, so you ever got under a blanket with a flashlight and read a comic book? Yeah, stuff like that. So this woman right here says, can I keep him? And then she does for a while, and then he goes to live not with the bunk bed roomed. You know what he's sleeping beside? He's sleeping beside the Ark of the Covenant. So he can reach out and go, shiny thing over there. You're sleeping beside the Ark. How cool is that? You say, I grew up in a church. He literally did. Who's his adopted dad? Well, he doesn't really have an adopted dad, but Elkanah was his dad, but Eli's the priest. So he goes to live in the Ark. He's not sleeping in a bunk bed. He's sleeping next to the Ark. Elkanah said, okay, you do what you think's best. You're the mom. But, let's remember what we said. After he was weaned, she took the boy up with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull. That's why I think he's probably about 3. An ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood here praying to the Lord. I pray for this child, and now the Lord's granted me what I ask him. So now I give him to you, Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. It was revealed to her she'd have a son. She resolved to give him to God. Revolution's going to take place. Well, what about Hannah? I think she continues to lead a great life. Hannah's prayer is found in chapter 2. Eli's, his sons are mentioned also in chapter 2. And now I'll go all the way over to chapter 3. This little boy is growing up. Do you think God's with him? Yes, I do. How do you know? I look at Samuel's mother, Hannah. And we just did. It was a revelation to Hannah she would have a baby. It was revealed to her. Hannah made a resolution to give him back to God. And Samuel somewhat calls it a revolution from and for God. Here it is. God is going to, let's have us a revolution. Here it is, chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And there were not many visions. In other words, God wasn't being very active. Why? Because he's mean? Oh, don't ever think that's because the people were so sinful. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. Look, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Here's the revolution. It's starting. And he says, Samuel. Samuel thinks it's Eli, so he gets up and goes in and says, yeah, what do you want? He didn't quite say it that way, but he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You call me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord said, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You call me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. This sounds like me when I was a little kid. Did you ever get up out of bed? Daddy, I need a drink of water. Yeah. I need to go to the bathroom. I need to. You just didn't want to go to sleep. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He's going to have a revelation here. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You call me. Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, you go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there. Well, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. As you're reading this story, do you wonder why God didn't speak to Eli? He's the priest. Joey, why didn't he speak to the priest? How come he's speaking to a little boy? Who's closer to God, you think? I'm beginning to wonder if it's not Samuel. You say, well, does he fully understand God? No, the Bible says it. But Eli is not where God wants him to be either, spiritually. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were wicked. They were sleeping with the women around. They'd call them probably prostitutes, temple prostitutes. His sons are sleeping around. You put meat in a pot, and what you're supposed to do, you let it go down and then offer the best to God. And what's left, you can take a three-pronged fork and pull it in, and the priests can have that. When they can have a meal, they sort of get the leftovers. His sons would go up and look around, hey, I think I'll take this. Wait a minute. God hadn't even got his yet. I don't care. They'd grab a piece of meat out there before that. It's sort of like you're eating before God does. That's not good. So you're cheating God and sleeping around. Great sons. People, matter of fact, they sort of got on Eli and said, you going to do something about these boys? I don't know. I guess we could fuss at Eli. He didn't correct his kids. Well, so he speaks to Samuel. Why? Samuel's going to have a story that's going to, here was the story. Verse 11, chapter 3, the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that'll make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. We're going to have a revolution. At that time, I'll carry out against Eli everything I spoke of against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family. Accountability of a father right here. Forever, because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down till morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. It's like we're open for business. Come on in to the church. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What did God tell you last night? Oh, Will, I don't really want to tell you. Go ahead, tell me. Okay, here it is. James, you are dismissed. James got to go to a funeral today, so he's sneaking out. What is it? Eli said, do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. At least he didn't gripe about that. Samuel told Eli, basically this, God's going to replace you all. And Eli said, well, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. So the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Look at this. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. What's that mean? Everything he said was worth what? Listening to. Everything he said. He let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. Everything was worth hearing. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed, see that word? There he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. If you want to get a revelation today, if you want something revealed to you, read the Bible, read God's word, and God will reveal things to you. And Samuel's word came to all of Israel. Hmm. a young boy named Samuel. God gave Samuel a revelation. I'm going to do something. I want to use you to cause this revolution to take place. So he revealed himself to Samuel, even as a little boy. That takes out the excuse, well, I'm too young for God to use me. I'm too old to God. No, God will use you. He revealed what he was going to do. What's he going to do? I'm going to do some shake it up. Joy, if this was a company, what's God going to do? Everybody at the top level is going to be what? You're gone. I'm going to fire all of you. Yeah, a lot of restructuring going on here. Eli, your sons are gone. I don't want to spoil the story if you want to keep reading, but actually, if you read a few more chapters later, they had a battle. They're fighting the Philistines, and Hophni and Phinehas are out there in the battle. That was a joke, you know. So they jump out there to go fight, and they're losing, and they run and get the ark as if a good luck charm, and they bring the ark out. Look, we got the ark, and it's such a roar of the camp, the Philistines thought, oh, they've got a secret weapon over there all of a sudden. Hophni and Phinehas was just using it. You know what's convicting about that? That's probably the first time they'd ever got around the ark for a long time, isn't it? You know, James reminds me he's going to a funeral, but and I have no idea. I know it's Camp Grandfather Joe, is that right? Okay. When do some people go and visit the pastor? At a what? At a funeral. You're either going to get married or going to a funeral. Outside of that, you have no time for God. Run and get the preacher. Grandma's sick. I'd almost... How could we treat God that way? It's like, Mark's my friend, but I'll every time, hey, Mark, yeah, can you do this for him? Mark, pretty soon, Mark's like, oh, Edgar's calling. What's he want this time? Well, that's the way we do God. You know, hey, God, what is it this time? Special occasion? Because I know you don't talk to me normally. So Eli, he had all these kids' respect for God. So they run and get the ark. They bring it out. It's a secret weapon for a while. And then the Philistines get wise. Say, wait a minute. We were beating these guys, and we were winning this battle. Let's go back to, we're stronger, and they go in, battle, beat down the Israelites, steal the ark. And the ark's gone. On that day, here's what happens. You tell me if God's prophecy didn't come true. Hophni and Phinehas are killed in the battle. Eli's sitting there rocking back on his chair there at the temple. Hophni is, you know, one of his sons. He's going to be a grandfather. One of his sons is going to be a dad that day. The wife is with child. When the baby is born, watch how many tragedy happens. Hophni and Phinehas die in the battle. The mom gives birth and the baby is born, but the mom dies. They name the baby Ichabod because Ichabod basically means God's spirit's not here. Let me phrase that in Giles County lingo. God's gone. Can you imagine if you went up in front of a church and had Ichabod at the top? That wouldn't be good. God's gone. I hadn't seen God for a long time. So Hophni and Phinehas die in battle. The daughter-in-law dies as she gives birth. And then they tell Eli the news that causes him to stumble in his chair. His two sons are dead. That's bad enough. But then he says, we've lost a battle. But then they said they've captured the ark. At that, Eli falls. And being a heavy man, he fell. And guess what he did? He broke his neck. So let's see, we die. Hophni and Phinehas, gone. Baby's born, daughter-in-law, gone. Eli dies. Well, who takes over? This little boy named Samuel. Joey, you think that's cleaning the top out? Eli, two sons, even a daughter-in-law, you're gone. I think Samuel grew up with the respect. Did he have respect for God? Oh, absolutely. So he continues to serve God, and he's probably the Lone Ranger in serving God. Samuel somewhat caused a revolution to begin, being strong for God. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, they wanted a king. Israel had never had a king. And Samuel stands up and says sort of this, I'll paraphrase it, y'all don't need a king. I'm a prophet. Just listen to me. We don't want to listen to you anymore. Can you imagine this? I know you've never heard of this in the world. We don't want you because you talk too much about God. We just give us a king because everybody else has got a king. You've never heard that before, have you? But Mom, everybody else is going to the party. Everybody else is doing it. Just because everybody does it doesn't make it right. And Samuel says, you don't need a king. You got me. We don't want you. Can you imagine telling that to him? Wow, hurt his feelings. Okay. He goes and God, he's going over their head. God, they want a king, and that ain't right. God says, go ahead and give them a king. God, they want a king, and that ain't right. Can you kill them? God says, give them a king. But God, it's not right. He says, I know it's not right, and I know they've ignored me. But he says this, very good words. He says, Samuel, it's not you they've rejected. It's me. Go ahead and let them have that. Yeah, that was the time that I found a bottle of whiskey or something in a drawer there at the trailer. We had a trailer next to the laundromat. Daddy was working 11 to 7, so he was asleep. I went through there, and I don't know, Charles Lidger, the guy used to own that, he had left some liquor around too. And I opened this, looking for a screwdriver. I opened that and thought, there's a bottle. Mark, wonder what this tastes like. You know, if you'd have turned and looked in the mirror right there, you'd have saw stupid right here. But I didn't look in the mirror, so it's like, you pick that up and go, wonder what that tastes like. And I thought, of course, and I looked down, Daddy's back there asleep. And then I went, not to rap. Daddy was standing right here. He had replaced the Ninja Turtle. I mean, he could have, he somehow got from there to here like, what are you, Captain Kirk bean you up here or something? I mean, there he is. He said, go ahead and take a drink. I said, no, I'll just, no, go ahead. Okay. You know, just tears about right here. Go ahead and take a drink of that. Now, what'd you learn from that?
That I can't breathe right now, but...
Or don't light a match, flame come out there. Daddy just now says, you don't want this, do you? No, sir. Just remember that. He goes back home. That's the kind of daddy I had. Oh, he's mean. No, daddy's wise. So God says, go ahead. Let him take a drink of the liquor, so to speak. Okay. Samuel turns up and they give him a king. The king was given, what was that first king of Israel? Saul. He's a power saw. I mean, he come in and took over. So Samuel gives him a king. Samuel anoints Saul. Matter of fact, he anointed the first two kings. Well, who replaced Saul? David. He anointed both those. Finally, the last thing I think it's sort of sad. Samuel's farewell speech is found in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel said to all Israel, I've listened to everything you've said to me, and I've set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I'm old and gray. This is sad. I'm old and gray. This is the little boy. If I sit here and thought about it, you know, it's easy to be emotional this week being a granddaddy, but it's like Samuel has went from that little boy in the temple and grown up, and now he's old and gray. And he's looking at this crowd saying, thanks for not wanting me a few years ago. Wow. Sorry. That's okay. Here's what he tells them. I'm old and gray. My sons are here with you. I've been your leader from my youth. From my youth until this day, here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and His anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? In other words, tell me what I've done wrong. If I've done any of these, I'll make it right. Oh, verse 4, you've not cheated or oppressed, as they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hands. You've been doing a great job. What's he going to lead them up to? If I've been doing a great job, what? Why'd you fire me? See, he's got him where he wants him. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and also His anointed is witness this day. You have not found anything in my hand. You didn't find anything wrong. He's a witness, they said. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. By the way, He appointed me too, is what He's leading to. Now then, stand here because I'm going to confront you. Oh, here it comes. I'm going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers. I'm going to tell you what all the good God's been doing for you. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So He sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor. And He just keeps doing this, and He keeps reminding them, God's good, y'all fall away. God's good, y'all fall away. Verse 12, but when you saw that Naash, the king of Amorites, was moving against you, you said to me, ho, we want a king too. Everybody else got a king. Okay, I'll give you a king. So He gives him a king. You sometimes get what you ask for, so God gave him a king. Verse 16, now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord's about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain. You will realize what an evil thing you've done in the eyes of the Lord when you ask for a king. You made a big time mistake. Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain, so all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel to say, man, Samuel speaks, God acts. They realized, why on earth did we want a king? We had who we needed. The people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so we will not die. You are close to God, for we have added to all our other sins this evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. You fired me, but I'm going to pray for you. Ouch. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Strong warning. Samuel says, I want to be a blessing to you. If you stop and think about the revelation, fresh starts and freedom. God gives you a revelation, then you make a resolution to have a revolution. Samuel experienced a close walk with God from youth to old. So Samuel boldly spoke truth when needed. He told Eli, your party's over. That was tough to say. Samuel was faithful and anointed Israel's first two kings, Saul and David. Can you look at this any other way? Sure, I can make it very practical for you. Consider the following. A revelation, resolution, and a revolution. You say, all right, I got those three things. You can consider it this way. These three items can also be viewed as simply as these three A's. God makes you aware of something. Maybe he did today. Maybe he's brought something out. He makes you aware of it. That's the same as revealing it to you. He makes you aware of it. Then you resolve to accept it. Of course, you can do the opposite of that. What? You can reject it. God, I know you've what you wanted me to do, but I don't want to do that. Samuel told them, you don't need a king. No, we want a king. Everybody else got one. By the way, two of Saul's great qualities, he's tall and good looking. What's that got to do with being spiritual? That sometimes is why, Chris, you got a teenage daughter, and he's tall and good looking. Great reasons to get married. Doesn't have a job, worthless, but he's tall and good looking. Yeah. Got a good looking car. Of course, if you ever lose that car, he is gone. He's history. You know, that's like when you find your... You can either accept it or reject it. And then you make a revolution. That's an action. So God makes you aware. You accept what he says, and then you move to action. Where are you in those 3 points? I don't know. What's he reminding you of today? Is God speaking? I think he speaks to us every day. So you want a fresh start? Fresh starts are available to you, where we can have some freedom in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that today we're challenged to hear what you're speaking to us about. Maybe it's to let loose of something that we're holding on to tightly. Maybe it's to start doing some things we haven't done for a long time. Lord, you've revealed that, and just like that paint soaking into a cinder block, it's going to go deep into the heart of somebody here, maybe deeper in that area than it will on others. But Lord, you still speak, and it's in different ways. You're amazing to do that. We sometimes think, Lord, how do you know me so well? Because you made us, God. And you made us to worship you. I pray today, Jesus, that you'd speak to our hearts. Make us aware. Reveal. May it be a revelation to us about what we need to do. And then may we resolve, have a resolution in our heart to say, Jesus, I accept what you say. And I'm going to move to action. There's going to be a revolution. I'm going to kick the devil out of the areas in my life that I don't want him in anymore. Put your foot down and tell the devil to leave. And Lord, help us to do that. So Lord, speak to hearts even now, and you speak to mine, Lord. There's areas that are, can still be surrendered more and more to you. Lord, you've called us. I pray we'd hear, just like that verse in Revelation. Be able to stand at the door and knock if any man hears my voice. And Lord, I think we've heard your voice today. And opens the door. That's the key. So Lord, I pray that people would open up their heart to you, whatever you're speaking to them about. And if we do that, we'll get to dine with you and you with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are speaking. So help us to be right quiet for a few moments and hear the voice. Jesus, like that little boy Samuel, who heard his name called, Lord, I pray that you'd call people by name right now. And I pray that they'd respond to you. Speak to us, Jesus. Search us, try us. If there be any wicked way in us, ask you, Lord, to forgive us and remove it. Today can be the first day of the rest of our lives. We're going to dig in deeper and not give up and not get defeated and not get discouraged. And Jesus, we're yours. For we can do all things through you. While your head is bowed and your eyes are closed and your heart is prayerfully open, I pray God's speaking to you. I pray we'd be like that little boy named Samuel, that we'd be found faithful and say, God, you speak, I'm listening. And then resolve to do what he tells us to do. God, thank you for showing up today. Thank you for bringing revival to some people's hearts today. And in this noisy world, it's not easy to be quiet. You've helped us today to be still, know you're God. May decisions be made that'll change eternity. Lord, today, if someone doesn't know you, I pray that they'd come to you in faith and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to quit running. I'm running towards you. Would you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart? I believe you died for me. I was buried and rose again, and you're a risen Savior, and I'm going to trust in you. Maybe we've drifted from the faith. It's time to come home. Help us to resolve to do that. And Jesus, maybe we just need revival. Maybe it's sort of a flat, discouraging, spiritual dryness area in our lives. So Lord, I pray that you'd move in right now and you take over. Thanks for speaking to us. Who are we that you're mindful of us and yet you speak? So Lord, thanks for your love and your goodness and your forgiveness and mercy. We ask you to bless us as we go, as we continue to enjoy the Lord's day in Jesus' name. Amen.